Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. This must be one of the most well-known of Jesus' sayings. And of course, at this stage in John's Gospel, he'd just washed his disciples' feet at the Last Supper. He'd given his disciples a very practical example of what it means to love and serve one another. To show love in putting the needs of the other first, putting their well-being and comfort first, and not worrying about social status. Because, of course, Jesus, as the Lord and Master, would not normally be the one to wash the feet of his servants. It should be the other way round. And Jesus also knew that Judas had just left the room to betray him. That's what happens in the verse before this reading starts. And that means that the time for Jesus to do his work on earth was nearly over. Judas had gone out into the night, which meant that it was near the end of day, and it was now time to prepare the disciples in these closing moments of his time on earth for what was going to happen next. So how does Jesus remain calm and focused on teaching his disciples and attending to their needs in these last hours that they had together, knowing full well what Judas was doing behind the scenes? First of all, he is secure in his identity. This week has been Mental Health Awareness Week, and one of the commonest causes for poor mental health is growing up in an environment where you don't feel loved and valued by others, where you don't feel sure of your identity as a beloved child. So it's particularly the influence that parents have, that fathers have, but in a general environment where people don't feel loved and valued, it causes problems throughout life. Some of our young people are in the midst of exams at the moment, GCSEs and A-levels, and the Year 6s have just finished their SATs. And those of you who are parents will know that when our children are doing exams, one of the things we often need to do is to reassure them that we love them, that they're really special for who they are. And we will always love them, whether they get top grades or not. It's really important to say that, isn't it? To affirm them over and over again. Now, Jesus' situation was, of course, a bit different. He might have been worrying about what Judas was doing, betraying him as he spoke, but no, he didn't. He looked up, he focused on the relationship he had with his heavenly Father. The connection that they had as Father and Son, really close. Jesus, fully God and fully man, really close to our Heavenly Father. And he focused on how he reflected something of the Father God's character, of that glory. Now, I don't know what that word glory means to you. To me, it sort of sums up an image of something really shining, radiating out from someone very special, someone really godly. Glory touches the people who look at it. And that's what Jesus meant here, that his glory would be shown, the Father's glory would be shown in what he was doing. God's glory was shown in Jesus. By completing the work that he had to do, that he'd been sent to the world to do, in being the light of the world and giving himself for humanity on the cross. He was reflecting the glory as well as the great love of God the Father for human beings, which, as you know, the Bible tells us all the way through of how much God loves us human beings since the beginning of time. But Jesus was also looking beyond that to after he died, to when he was raised to life again, and then 40 days later to his ascension. I'm sure you know that in a few days' time it will be Ascension Day. It's the 30th of May. And Jesus was saying that in that way, when he ascends to heaven, he will also be glorified too. The next thing Jesus did was to prepare his disciples for what was coming. He was saying I'm about to go, in effect, and you can't come with me. And he uses this lovely term, my children. The word used in Greek is a gentle, caring term. He's showing his emotional attachment to them. Can you imagine how Jesus might have said this? What tone of voice he might have used to show his care for his disciples, who he was calling my children. It's not just the actual words said, it's the emotion. That's how we love people, how we show we love people, isn't it? The feeling with which our words are said. Now, what do we most want for our children, those of us who've got children? What do we most want for them? I ask that question sometimes when I take a baptism service. And the things that people usually say is that they want the children to grow up to be loving and to care for others. They don't say they want them to get top marks in their A-levels or to get a really high-earning job. They just want them to relate well to other people, to be happy, to love and care for others. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Jesus, the master, their leader, was saying, when I'm gone, the most important thing is to love one another. This is how people will know that you're one of mine, reflecting my character. Love one another as I have loved you. And this isn't just to their cozy little group of disciples. This is for the whole world over the generations. This is meant to be shared. He said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So let's be practical. I'm sure we all know how to be loving one-on-one. But how can we do this as a church? Some of us had a conversation about this recently, and we were thinking about how when new people come to church, how we welcome them. And we decided, we agreed, we want to make people feel loved and not judged. Love communicates that we're pleased to see them. So we're not going to make comments about how often they come to church or what their motivation might be in coming. That's fine. That's nothing to do with us. We are to love them, to welcome them, make them feel valued and special. That's what we're aiming for. And in this loving response, we are reflecting the character of our loving God, who is always pleased to see us when we turn to him. Even if it's a long time since we last turned to him, he's always pleased to see us. Sometimes it's easy to be loving. The new people are nice to be with. They're like us. But in our first reading, we hear how Peter was challenged to welcome new people who weren't like him. People who weren't Jews like him. He'd made assumptions about Gentiles. They weren't people to be seen with, to associate with. They were unclean. That wasn't his fault. That was the culture in which he grew up. But in this vision that we hear about and his subsequent meeting with Cornelius, who was a Gentile, Peter was shown that the gospel was for everyone, whatever their background, whatever their ethnicity, whether they were Jews or Gentiles. God doesn't reject anyone, and neither should Peter. And neither should we. The Holy Spirit was poured out on people that Peter would previously have rejected as unclean. And we hear the evidence for that as in that Bible reading. People who he previously thought he shouldn't be with, he had to learn how to love these Gentiles as brothers and sisters in Christ. How to love and accept people of all backgrounds. So what about us? How can we show our love for people? Again, in this group that we were discussing with this week, we felt one very specific example is to pray for them. There's something called the Thy Kingdom Come initiative. I don't know if any of you have heard of this. I think we're in our third year of it now. And the Archbishop of Canterbury has been promoting this. And it's being promoted around the world with actually church leaders from all denominations, Catholic, Orthodox, all sorts, as well as the Church of England. And it's all about specifically, intentionally praying more in this time between Ascension Day, which is the 30th of May, it's coming up soon, and Pentecost, the time when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, and that's on the 9th of June. And he wants us to be more intentional, and they've produced some resources and some films. We're going to see one in a moment. It's called Thy Kingdom Come, and they're using words of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, hallowed be your name. And asking us to pray that God's will would be done and his kingdom will grow. So this is all about asking the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and into our world to make a difference. Rather like a whole lot of lights shining all over the world. And if you go on the Thy Kingdom Come website, you can sign up on that and say that you're going to pray, and it'll add a little light, and you'll see there's a map of the whole world with loads of lights all over it, like this picture here. And it's all about lighting up the world with our prayers, with asking the Holy Spirit to come. And lighting up the world with love, to love one another as Jesus has loved us. The first thing to do is to pray, and our actions towards other people will follow from that prayer. If we pray, we live out our prayers with our actions. When we pray for people, we pray God's blessing on them, pray for them to come to know Jesus, pray for them when they're struggling with life. And there are lots of people struggling at the moment, aren't there? This is love in action. And I do feel very much that God is calling us as a church to pray more. And I know there are lots of you here who also feel that. To pray more, both as individuals and together as a church. To pray for God's kingdom to come here in Carverley. For more people to come to a living faith in Jesus Christ. And to pray for each other. To pray that the Holy Spirit of God would be present in everything that we do, both here in church and wherever we are in the community, at work, in our families, wherever we go during the week. So I'm going to finish now with a time when we're going to watch a short film from the Thy Kingdom Come clip. And there are a number of different people being interviewed, and even if you can't hear them, you can see the words because they've put them up in subtitles. So we're now going to watch this film. Thank you.